This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, which tonight is sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. Your free $45 satellite entry ticket is waiting. Go to BorgataPoker.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and in New Jersey to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We will start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. No music out.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
I'll tell you what. Another one in contention for Don. Another drop that, as time goes on, when you hear Michael, when you hear the fact, because he had just thrown out. Keyshawn had already thrown out a couple of questions.
Right.
Who do they have here? Who do they have there? So Don, competitor that he is.
Locked and loaded.
He's locked and loaded. He's not going to forget. He knows that Diggs is the new wide receiver in Buffalo. He's not going to make the mistake. And you hear the confidence in his voice. Let's hear it again.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Because they said Diggs, everybody.
So good.
Now, were you embarrassed?
I love this
Don?
Show.
No. I mean, we talk extemporaneously, and
things happen.
He's the more famous Diggs.
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard. That embarrassed me.
That was tough for you, yeah.
God, I got to tell you.
It's hard to get out from under that.
I so miss trivia in the top five. Seriously.
Why?
I cry at night.
Why?
When can we do the top five again?
Trivia was so much fun. I looked forward to it every single day. But boss is the boss.
Who? No, there's no
And you mean Michael. That's who you mean.
Okay.
You mean the show.
All right, so let me use a Don line. Who are you taking out? Where do we have time today?
Who are you taking out?
Who are you taking out?
There was time.
I'm not going to insult any of our segments.
That's right. He would never do that. Guys, let's get into ENN, shall
we? Please.
Okay. Last night, Saquon, not his best moment as a Giant. 15 carries, 6 yards. Here's Saquon on the tough night.
I got to be better. I got to be better for the team. Got to find a way to get the run game going. That's just how I truly believe. I got to go back and watch film to give you an honest answer. Can't just talk off emotions, but one thing that just pops off in my mind is find a way to get the run game going for this team. I know that's going to be a key part of our success, and I truly believe in it, and I still believe in it. And, just keep grinding at it, keep working at it, and find a way.
That's Saquon. That is always his approach to things. Mike Tomlin spoke about shutting down Saquon.
We had a commitment, and we weren't going to be bashful about that commitment. We thought that guy was a catalyst for whatever that they were going to do offensively. We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
When are we going to have the real conversation soon about Tomlin? I'm sorry, guys. It's like year in, year out. I just feel like the guy doesn't get his due. Like, that stat you pulled out yesterday about Monday Night Football and his record on Monday nights, and then you saw sort of the approach and how they felt kind of the entire game, and I'm just reminded of how ready this team always is every year.
It's so true. And
I think he's considered great.
He gets brought up by people a lot about, I don't know about Tom, whether it's Terry Bradshaw or Danny from Long Island. I feel like there's always people in the Steelers world quick to pull something away from him.
I think they have that super fan Ville where it's championship or bust every single year. Blame the coach. But you know, Terry Bradshaw is just a whack job. And for him to think that Tomlin's deficient in any way, shape, or form, he's just, you know, not paying attention. He just wants to be that guy. Listen, Chuck Knoll had to go at some point. My God, I mean, the guy was the coach there for 40 years. And they had, what, two coaches forever, right?
They've had three forever now.
He's better than Cowher. I'll be honest with you.
I love it.
Tomlin's better than Cowher. How many tough championship games did they lose at home under Bill Cowher? And listen, I'm not going to sit here and ever disrespect Chuck Knoll, but my God, you need both hands to count the Hall of Famers that he coached. Right?
So it's a fair, fair point by you. I mean, you're talking about a different level.
I mean, just those championship teams back in the 70s. Franco Harris, Hall of Famer. Webster, a Hall of Famer. Stallworth. Swan.
Bradshaw
himself. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball. My God. Ham and Lambert. It's incredible. Mean Joe Green. Stacked.
Cowher was 149 and 90.
He was a great coach.
Over the 14 years. Oh, my gosh. Well, no. And now Tomlin's up to 9. Tomlin is 133 and 74. 642 winning percentage to Cowher's 623. Either way, he's got to be taken just seriously. Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, hadn't played in 364 days.
It's a day short of a year.
Thank you, Michael. And Big Ben is back and excited to be back.
I'm just so excited. I'm just thankful. I told the guys in the locker room before the game that the reason I came back is because of them. I don't need to accomplish anything personally anymore. It's about being with a defense that I think is as good as any that I've ever played with. Skill guys that are young and fun to play with. And then, of course, my line, who I love to death and they love me. So they're the reason that I came back to play.
It's a very weird thing that they're doing with the sideline reporters in the first row. So when you get the video of the player talking, he's like looking up to the sky. So
odd. That part is a little strange. I thought that too. I don't know a better way. I mean, I don't know, you know.
Why can't they do it the way they do it in NASCAR? Have you seen that? You just get one of those like kind of boom mic situations where you stay 6-7 feet away. You've got the microphone for the player. You keep your own handheld microphone and interview them. They can hear you from 6-7 feet away.
Yeah, especially because there's nobody in the crowd.
Yeah. So, I mean, you couldn't do that in normal circumstances when there's 80,000 people, but you could do it.
Michael, is the at Yankees games, is the crowd noise pumped into the stadium also? It is, right?
Yes. We pick up the crowd noise from the stadium. It's not pumped right into the broadcast.
It's pumped into the stadium. And they're doing the same thing in football, I imagine, right?
Yes.
It's interesting. Let's hear from Keyshawn, who was on this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin talking about Daniel Jones' debut performance in 2020.
When things got going and it became stressful, you saw a young quarterback panic. The interception that was tipped, or he basically tipped it and hit his hand. When he's running away, throw the ball in the damn stands, not a back against the grain in the middle of the field with 4 or 5 Pittsburgh Steelers around, it's going to get intercepted. Nobody was open, but that's the stress that you put on a young quarterback when you don't surround him with great talent.
That was a little surprised with, because he said that to us too. Like hammering the Giants' talent.
The Jets'
talent.
Was
a bit much.
No, that was about the Giants' talent.
About the Giants.
I mean, then what does he think of the Jet talent?
Apparently not very much. I learned that he thinks Jameson Crowder is just a piece, not a guy. I have mixed feelings. Now,
I thought when he first said it, it sounded like he said beast.
No, yeah. Sadly, he said peace.
And that's not.
That's not what he meant, the exact opposite. But now... We also learned some news about a guy who's supposed to be a guy on the Jets.
Ooh.
And that's Le'Veon Bell, who is headed to the IR.
So is Mims. I don't know if you got that.
Denzel Mims also to the IR.
Wow.
Things are going really well with the Mims situation.
I just find it interesting.
Don, this may work against your argument, Don.
Well, but if guys aren't, I'm arguing for guys that aren't on the field.
Right.
But again, and listen, I love Slayton, right? He was great last night. But you start talking about, oh, the Giants have Slayton. They have a fifth-round pick that they've made into something where he's now become a weapon for them.
I think that separates good teams from bad teams. You've got to make those middle-round picks work.
That's my point, is that you've got to have a coach and you've got to have a quarterback that can make the players around them better. I mean, there's a lot of guys that we look at, right, and we say, oh, that's a beast, or that's a number one wide receiver. Would they be that if they were on another team? Right? You don't know.
It's the old Derek Jeter with the Royals argument.
Kind of, because I think it just Jeter would have been underexposed because nobody would be watching him the way they were watching him with the Yankees. Or, you know, they wouldn't be in the postseason the way the Yankees were in the postseason. But I'm talking about somebody that is a star. He's being made a star by the people around him. But if you plucked him away and put him on a bad team, would we be talking about that guy being a stud? And I not that his talent would change, but you wouldn't have the quarterback or the system to accentuate their talent. And I think that if you've got the quarterback and you've got the system and the coaching, you can make an average player good and a good player great. And I think that's more the situation. If the Jets had the coach, that makes the quarterback better, and that makes those pieces around him better.
And the one who escapes in this and should escape is Joe Douglas, because this is essentially his first year. What they did with the firing of Maccagnan, that set the franchise back. Then you bring in Douglas, who couldn't do anything with last year's team. And this is the first team that he has any kind of an imprint on. And it's going to take time. Well, so the Jets keep changing gears and changing directions, and it takes longer and longer to become a good team.
You know, and I've asked the question, and Keyshawn brought it up, about, well, eventually Joe Douglas is going to lose patience. But the way the structure is with the Jets, it's not about Douglas losing patience. It's about the Johnsons losing patience, right? Because that's the structure, where Gase goes to the owner. Douglas goes to the owner. So eventually the Johnsons are going to have to decide. And I say the Johnsons because I guess Woody could theoretically come back to own the team if Trump is voted out of office. If they don't change their mind, where's Gase going?
Yeah, but I mean, Joe Douglas has enough power because he has a six-year contract. I know it's a linear structure that Joe Douglas could go to Chris Johnson and go, this guy has to go. And he'll go. So he's not going to just unilaterally fire him. But I think that Douglas has more sway than Gase now because of the longer deal.
Well, we'll see. It's really about because who's going to call Chris to save Gase's job? Maybe the ghost of Johnny Unitas will come to him in a dream and tell him to keep Gase.
Johnny, you did not like Gase. It's still just Peyton.
Did you guys pay any attention to the Vic Fangio mismanaged timeout situation last night?
I got to be honest, because I'm always honest. I fell asleep at halftime of the second game.
I'll tell you what. Can we have some real conversation? You know, and I know this may not be received well. It's been years now. I'm still not that into the opening Monday night doubleheader.
I think
they should have it every Monday.
I think so too.
Yeah, I do. I really believe
that. You guys are serious?
No, absolutely. Because then you're serving the West Coast too. Wasn't it great to watch the Giant game? It started at like 7:15. It ended at like 9:30.
Well, that part was cool. The early game was cool.
There's the before kids Don LaGreca that loved the doubleheader on Monday because it gave me a late game to devour. And that was a good game last night. It wasn't well played, but it was a competitive game, right? And now post-kids, I loved getting off the air, and then bang, the game's on. Not have to wait like an hour and 25 minutes for kickoff. I love that.
It's a fair point. I think
every
it's a little week. Too much football. Yes, you might like that it's early for you, but you're never turning on the late game. You're going to be so footballed out by the second game Monday night.
Not true. That just wasn't a great game. I got bored with it.
Well,
Levy was great,
too.
But I got bored with the game.
Fangio, so late in the game, with Denver up 14-13.
His family calls him Fang, by the way.
The Titans were methodically moving down the field, and Fangio decided to not use any timeouts until there were 2 seconds left in the game.
Well, then, you know what? Then he had him for the 2 seconds. He had two timeouts left.
That's great. And you get to have those in your pocket. Here's Fangio.
Well, it was twofold there. One, their field goal kicker had obviously been having his problems. So I didn't want to extend the drive to where they could get closer, number one. And number two, you know, we would have used the timeout, but we got the running back out of bounds. We would have used the second timeout, but they threw an incompletion, you know, which would have given us one left when we got the ball back. So that was part of the thinking there.
Yeah, but still, you don't want to set it up so they're kicking a short field goal with no time left for you. I hate when teams don't make that decision. I hate when coaches don't realize this drive, they are going to end this drive with points, so I need some time on the clock to have a shot. I understand Gostkowski had struggled. I understand that, but still. Now, here's Vrabel, by the way, if he had any doubts that Gostkowski would make the field goal.
Nope, and they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts, and they were banking on him missing. And, you know, we all got to do our job. And again, it's not on just one player. You know, we'll get this stuff fixed. We got a lot of faith in our players. Excited to get out of here with a win. It's a tough place to play.
It's amazing now, how they have had just bad kicker after bad kicker there. And then you bring in a guy who might be a Hall of Famer. I mean, when push comes to shove, he might end up being a Hall of Famer.
And instantly start struggling.
Zero. I mean, he's just, there were years that he missed three field goals the whole year.
He's still not going to the Hall of Fame.
No sure chance.
You got to be unbelievably special to go in as a
All right, so, all right, let's.
Like Vinatieri's
going, right?
Yeah,
how different is his career than Vinatieri's?
Much different. I mean, it's been longer. No, he's not going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Let's take a stroll down to Crazy Town.
Okay, I love that.
You guys want to go to take a stroll to Crazy Town?
Is that where Tay Diggs lives? Or Stefan?
Let's go back and relive that moment first. I'm glad you brought it up, Michael.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stefan Diggs, because Stephon Diggs. Everybody.
There's a
but you know what?
Chance.
Keyshawn was nice about it.
He didn't have to be nice about it.
I don't think he noticed it. I think he was so lost.
But do you sense, and I'm not saying he doesn't like me, but don't you sense that this love affair he has with me in social media is fugazi?
Yeah.
It doesn't translate onto the radio at all.
He doesn't even know who you are.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's doing his social media.
Wow,
judging
that
by the video earlier today,
quite
not
an
well.
Indictment. Wow.
Wow. That's an interesting take I hadn't even thought of. It's shocking.
That's big people have people do their social media.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, so another guy who's battling for Keyshawn in terms of guests we enjoy, as Keyshawn's starting, you know, trying to put together his resume, is our very own Dan Orlovsky. He was on with Greeny earlier, and I'm curious to get everyone's thoughts on his very positive take about Sam Darnold's performance.
I can tell you this with 100% confidence in what I'm seeing. Sam Darnold is great. He is a great player. He has gotten better. And he still has, and likely will, always have 1 to 3 plays a game that are going to drive you nuts. But that's always who he has been. He's a star at the position. The coach is worse than ever imagined, and the talent is the worst in the NFL. Mark my words, if they ever flip it around in New York or he goes somewhere else that's good, he's going to be a star.
I believe he was also using, in case you're wondering, the same microphone that
Gehrig, I can tell you
that Gehrig used in his famous speech.
I can tell you.
I consider myself.
He does
the
not think that
man.
Darnold is the luckiest man.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? We can't. If all of those things he's saying are true, right? Like the Jet talent is the worst, and Gase is awful. Then we can't legitimately read Sam Darnold, especially us. Now Orlovsky's looking at it as three-dimensional chess. We're looking at it as checkers. What are the results? The results were terrible on Sunday. He's seeing something different, and he's blaming it on the people around Sam, not on Sam. Hey, he may be right. I'm not smart enough to know if he's right or wrong.
Well, there's a lot of people, Michael, that are down on the coach. I mean, it's rare that you get this many people, the quote-unquote experts, who just universally believe that this guy's a problem. So it's not just us. It's not just the fans, Michael. You heard, you know, I think Keyshawn was a lot nicer about it. But clearly they're
Keyshawn's
convinced.
Keyshawn's been pretty nasty about it previously. I think he pulled back a little today, but he's destroyed him.
I mean, it's like the same person, Don, whoever called Michael about Joe Judge and made whatever offer was made the same offer to Orlovsky about Darnold.
Let's get to this, because this is very interesting. What could anybody from the Giants offer me to change my opinion about Joe Judge? First of all, I can't be bought. All right, so what could they have offered me? I'm not rich.
Just wondering.
Yes, you are.
Comfortable. But, I mean, what could they have? I mean, you guys are indicting me as if I'm a hooker that I could be bought.
Excuse me?
Maybe we're just having a little fun.
Oh, I understand, people take it seriously.
It?
So
that's
what
right.
Do you think the Giants put on the plate for me to change my opinion on Joe Judge that I now
just
call him Canton-bound?
Maybe just a good
Joe
talking
Judge.
To. How about that? Maybe there was no exchanges at all. Maybe there was no gift.
So who was it exactly? Was it
Mara? You were straightened out.
Was it Hanlon? Who was it? Who do you think made
the
call?
I think Hanlon called and said, Judge wants to talk to you.
Right.
And you guys had a private call where he made you feel special. You had a really long conversation. He told you all about how they're gonna play smash-mouth football. They're going to run downhill.
Right.
And downhill
blue
to
collar.
They're going to play blue-collar, lunch-pail, downhill smash-mouth football.
Right.
And that got you so geared up that now you're calling him Canton Joe.
The Tisch family still has ties to Hollywood, correct?
Ties.
Ooh.
Ties, much more than ties.
All right.
So a
role could have been offered, Peter.
And we know.
No guarantees. Nothing specific. It's just that you will be considered in our next movie production.
You can't buy my approval. No one can.
And Michael, you know how much Michael loves the opportunity to be in a film.
I don't think you can be bought monetarily. I do believe you can be bought with a
But
movie.
Nothing Michael has said about Joe Judge was as off over the top and glowing as what Orlovsky said about Sam.
Right.
I'm rooting
just
for
said
Sam.
Don't be surprised
great.
If you see Sam.
You can't say great.
He
can't
say great. I said Joe Judge is going to the Hall of Fame. It might be more.
That's a good point.
I also think too, and this is an accusation that I can't back up at all.
Okay,
but I do feel like the arrogance of Gase makes it easy for people to jump him because he's just not very likable, right? So he's not somebody that if you're kind of on the fence about, you might feel the need to be someone to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know?
No, I agree.
You think there's something to that?
Possibly, for sure. He's not winning people over with his personality.
There's also something that really saddens me about the Joe Judge situation. This is the first time I've ever felt this way. If, as I predict, he's going to Canton, if he coaches 32 more years, right?
Well, that's a long run. But
that's until 70, just like Belichick. Belichick's probably going to go past that, but let's just say he goes 32 more years. I don't get the chance. I'm not seeing him in Canton. I can't pound my chest and go, I was right.
Oh,
I'll be 91.
You might see him.
Really? Okay.
You won't be doing a talk show.
How do you know?
So you just went from dead to still doing the show?
Well, don't count me out. I mean, a lot of advances in science.
That's a great point.
So do you think like, I don't know how old, 16, 17-year-old Charlie?
Right.
All right, wearing his varsity jacket because he's playing football.
Uh-huh. He is. Wow.
Holding
I talked
a giant
him out of that
pen.
Yesterday during the game.
Shaking as he walks to your gravesite.
Wow. No. Puts 16. That's 11 years from now. What are you talking about?
Puts the pennant next to your grave.
This is so sad.
It says, and the pennant said, the wind
RJ
blows.
RJ music?
The wind blows and shimmies the banner. And it says, Giants Super Bowl champions. And your son kneels down to the gravesite, touches the stone, and says, Dad, we did it. You were right. Fast forward 20 years later, a 36-year-old, Charlie, and his 10-year-old son.
Michael, by the way, still dead as a doornail.
walk to that very same gravesite.
You were right, Dad.
Charlie just on one knee, but young Charlie Jr. on both knees takes both of his tiny little hands and touches the stone.
He's tiny. He doesn't have tiny little hands. What is he, the character of Christian Wiig played?
It's something that he had to overcome. He couldn't play football like his dad.
I didn't play
because he had tiny hands.
Oh, no, Charlie. Dad, oh. Is that Charlie?
Because Charlie turned out to be a star. Charlie was actually cut from his freshman year in Nebraska. That's how good he was.
He went to Nebraska.
Wow. Yeah. So
Husker.
He takes the tiny hands, puts it on the gravestone, and says, "Grandpa, yesterday they inducted Joe Judge. I'm sorry I never got a chance to meet you. I heard good things.
I heard good things.
I love
things.
You."
And then they look at each other and simultaneously say, "See ya," and they walk away.
No,
see
ya! That's going to be on the stone.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you, Don.
It was very depressing, too. I'm not going to do the game tonight.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you proud?
Well, you got me gone at 70. It's not a real good pick-me-up.
Yeah, that's not the numbers he wanted. Also, bad news, Michael. You will never spend a night in St. Jetersburg. Derek Jeter.
How do you know? I might buy it.
Well, you won't be spending it with Derek because Jeter and his wife, Hannah, have put this incredible mansion on sale for $29 million.
Diga.
According to the real estate agent, this is the most impressive home to ever hit the market in the Tampa Bay area, which doesn't say very much because it's Tampa Bay.
So,
but
Derek,
it's a gorgeous house.
Derek is selling the house from under Tom Brady.
Is Brady still...
He's living there.
He's still there?
Yes. So you can have people traipsing through looking at the house, and Brady's still there.
By the way, that would be hilarious. What a skit that is. Random people come to check out the house while Tom's there.
And Giselle sunning herself in the backyard, right on the bay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for ENN on this, a Tuesday evening in the Tri-State. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.